to listen to the Left Traffic Podcast.
What is up, Left Traffic Nation? Welcome. Episode 177 of the Left Traffic Podcast. I am your host, the Professor Brandon Crowd. Well, hope you all had a great weekend. Hope you all had a great Easter. Hope everyone is continuing to stay as sane as possible during this quarantine. It came out last week. Michigan was going to be on a stay-at-home order through the end of April. And that caused some frustration with the orders, because along with that was the governor ordering certain departments at big box stores to shut down, gardening centers, paint centers. It's a tough situation. You want people to stay at home. So if people are got to stay at home, they want to do stuff around the house. It's bogging down Home Depots and the Lowe's to, you know, buy stuff that isn't essential, like mulch and stuff. I get that side of it, you know. But hey, you know, let's be curbside, something like that. But then you got more people at work and risking the additional spread and all that kind of stuff. It's tough. Weather is slowly starting to break here in Michigan. Everyone been cooped up through the winter, and us Midwesterners, man, get that spring itch when it gets 50 degrees or warmer outside. We want to go out and do something. Man, tough call. Don't envy anybody that has to make these types of decisions. That is for sure. Fortunately, this past weekend, they said was supposed to be the worst for Michigan, and the number of reported cases wasn't as bad as they thought. So, you know, that it's tough, but, you know, hopefully it's tough to track, I think, because not everyone who has it's getting tested, right? Some people are able to just ride this thing out. So who really knows where we're at from a numbers perspective? Hopefully we're just able to get back to some form of normalcy this spring and summer. Get the stick and ball sports might be impacted. Races could eventually be impacted, but some human interaction would be nice. And one of the things, aside from the many things on Twitter that I've seen this week, you know, is like the whole digital autograph, which got me thinking, you know, there's obviously going to be some new normalcies, right? When all of this gets situated and we're able to get back to whatever the new quote normal is going to be, you know, think about it, you know, large gatherings aren't going to be able to happen, or people are going to get nervous at large gatherings, right? You know, is the day of the meetup gone? Is the day of the, you know, you're going to see a comedian or your favorite musician and they have a fan club meet and greet before the show, you know, are certain, you know, are celebrities, are they going to want to not have as much interaction with the fans? I wonder, you know, are hot passes going to be limited to, you know, just essential people? You know, are they going to be able to hand them out to, you know, the sponsors and things of that nature? Are drivers going to go to the store for 2 hours and sign autographs? I really wonder if some of those things might change going forward, just because who knows now that this has all happened. All right, so there's that. Let's see what else. So most of you know I'm very diligent with my notes for the show, and I started writing them, you know, Monday afternoon, and I wrote down here. It's still written here. So not a lot to talk about this week, as NASCAR and iRacing was on hold due to the Easter holiday. Well, that changed really quickly. We all know what happened. Kyle Larson has lost his ride with the 42, and there's not a whole lot I'm really going to say about that. I'm here to try to have a good time tonight, try to, you know, just get the mind off the pandemic and all that kind of stuff. Brian Newdorf will be on a little later, and we'll talk to a different degree about the situation that I think is an appropriate way and something that I'm comfortable in doing, and we'll get to that. Let's see here. We did have a few events, some dirt racing, some IndyCar racing at Michigan last week, which was cool. Cool to see my home track on the iRace. Looks spot on. It was cool to see Dale Jr. pick up a third place finish. It's cool for him and his fans. Maybe creating a bridge for some crossover. Maybe we can get one of the Indy guys to come race one of the NASCAR iRaces. I mentioned this last week. I'm not the biggest fan of the way they did the Bristol thing, limiting it to just the Cup guys. Should be open to anyone in the 3 series. Extend it out if they want to, say, someone in Indy. But make a cut, qualify heat races, and set the lineup that way. I think that would be a lot of fun. Let's see. Hope you guys enjoyed last week's show with Charlie Langenstein. Really enjoyed talking with him about his 40-plus year career in the sport and his time at HMS. Look forward to talking with him again. You know, some of these interviews are dated in the sense, especially if it's a driver where you don't listen because they're probably talking mostly about their most recent race, that if you don't listen within that week, you know, I get where it may not make sense to go back and listen. But some of these other interviews, like with Charlie, where we barely scratch the surface, doesn't matter when you listen because we really weren't talking about a specific race. So I encourage you, if you haven't checked out last week, everybody seemed to enjoy it. A lot of positive response on Twitter. So go check out last week's if you haven't already. And let's see. One of the other things I wanted to talk about was, you know, a couple weeks ago, NASCAR floated around that schedule. And it seems states have kept pushing out the stay at home and all that. You know, they said, you know, May the Coke 600 was when they wanted to get fired back up. We're almost a month out. Haven't got a confirmation. And you would have to think these teams would have to be able to get back into the shop. They would have to be able to get working and prep in the car, and you would have to think they're going to need a couple weeks to do that, and that's not just something they're going to be able to say the week before, all right, yep, we're going, even if it's without fans. There's going to need to be some prep time, so something tells me that that schedule is going to be getting altered, and man, it would be so awesome if everybody on Memorial Weekend, because we're all going to be stuck inside, had some NASCAR to watch, but as the weeks keep ticking here, I'm just not as hopeful. I'm still trying to be hopeful that things are going to get fired back up, even if it's without fans being able to attend. But that that Charlotte date is looking more and more in jeopardy from my perspective. All right. Tonight might be a little bit shorter of a show. Just don't have a race to talk about. That's okay. Have a very cool, unique guest tonight. The director for NASCAR's R&D Center is going to be on here in just a second to talk about how they're helping with this whole pandemic. Brian Newdorf will be on, like I said. And speaking of weather, one half of the weather team for the Lap Traffic Podcast, Aaron Studwell, as we talked last week, honored to announce that he successfully defended his PhD last week and look forward to talking with him about that next week. PETM, they're firing up tomorrow night, so make sure you've got them dialed in. And I am also very excited. I'm going to talk now about it because that's how excited I am. Next week, really going to switch things up. I'll talk about the Richmond iRace a little bit, but next week's focus, why not, you know, broaden the horizons a little bit, if you will. Reach out, talk something a little different. Yahoo Sports' own, I know a lot of you know this name. He's been on once before. Dan Wetzel is going to come on. It's NFL draft week, so we're going to have some fun. We're going to talk about Dan Wetzel's Netflix special a little bit. We'll talk a little NASCAR, but we're going to talk some football in the NFL draft and have some fun with some different content next week. So definitely looking forward to talking to Dan Wetzel. Great guy, friend of mine, he ain't got nothing else to write about. So he's going to come on the show and hang out for a little bit next week, which I'm very, very excited about. All right. That said, let's kick things off and let's get Eric Jacuzzi on the line. All right, Lap Traffic Nation, joining me on the line, making his first appearance on the Lap Traffic Podcast. He's been involved with NASCAR for quite some time. He's currently the Senior Director of Aerodynamic Simulation and Design. He's a Michigan grad. Welcome to the Lap Traffic Podcast, Eric Jacuzzi. Eric, what's up, man? Go Blue.
Go Blue. Not much. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Welcome to the show. How how is social distancing going? How is Easter? You know, how's things hanging on there for you?
Probably about the same for everybody. Every day is a variation of coming in here and working on the face shields, and whether I go to the grocery store or not is about the highlight of it.
Right. Isn't that crazy, man? Like, I went to the store the other day, you know, the mask, the gloves, like never in my wildest dreams did I think, you know, we'd ever get to that. Like the movies are among us, basically.
Yeah, absolutely.
So Eric, you and I have a couple things in common here a little bit. So you went to Michigan. I'm a Michigan fan. It looks like you're working on your PhD. I'm working on mine. And Aaron Studwell, who's one of the more well-known Twitter weather accounts out there, calls into the show to give weather reports. Also a Michigan grad and just finished his PhD. So lots of learning going on around the circle here. So tell everybody a little bit about yourself, man.
Grew up in Windsor. Kind of lifelong automotive family. Actually, I think the first race I ever went to was MIS when IndyCar was there. So I was pretty young then. Went to Kettering University and graduated. That's in Flint, Michigan. Graduated in 07, I believe. And then went to the University of Michigan, master's in aerospace. And then, as you said, I just defended my PhD. So waiting on the paper in the mail, PhD in aerospace engineering from NC State. And I've been with NASCAR for about 6.5 years now and kind of got into it by got hired after Michigan to work for Corvid Technologies in Mooresville, North Carolina. And they are kind of they do all the computational aerodynamics support for the Chevy racing team. So that's kind of how I got tied in with NASCAR.
That's awesome. So you guys are doing some incredible stuff at NASCAR's R&D right now. Why don't you tell everyone a little bit about that, what you guys have put on hold and what you guys are working on a daily basis right now?
So obviously, normally, especially in the aero side, we've been pretty much full bore on the next gen car. With everything that happened, that's become impossible to work on at the moment, you know, other than stuff we can do on the computer. So basically, we a couple weeks ago started looking into what we could do to kind of help out with the COVID-19 situation. We actually got a brand new Stratasys Fortus 450, which is a big expensive 3D printer installed. That was installed in early March, and we had it running by kind of the middle of March. So right about the time when North Carolina, you know, we got the stay-at-home order. So we looked into what we could do, and the face shield seemed to be in need. So we printed up a couple on a Monday and got in touch with some medical professionals and were able to show them to them. They had a couple of suggestions. And then next day, you know, they said, hey, can you make us 200 of these? And we said, yeah, sure. So then we set up a kind of round the clock schedule. We've been basically manning the machines for about 18 hours a day. For about the past 3 weeks, I think we're a little over 800 that we've produced so far.
That's awesome. So, and those are staying, are they staying local? Are they being shipped around the country, or, you know, where are they going?
Actually all over the place. So, we have, basically California, there's a bunch locally, North Carolina and, South Carolina, Virginia, but we have, they've been shipped to New York, Los Angeles, actually, some just went to Chelsea, Michigan today.
Oh, cool.
So, yeah, we got a couple from Texas. Just kind of everywhere, anywhere they need them, you know. And, if it's a quantity, we've got some great partners around here, like Fiberworks Composites. They're working on a design where they'll be able to produce a couple hundred a day. So that's kind of helped us out with being able to, you know, because some of these medical systems will come to us and say, hey, man, I need 10,000 of them. And it's like, hey, we can't do that right now. But, you know, there's people that we can point them to that can help them out.
That's cool. So, like, what's the time frame to generate one of them?
So yeah, we do about 40 to 50 a day, okay, right now. So we can print 3 in about 2 hours. And then there's kind of like some other work, like there's the clear plastic part that actually, Fiberworks is cutting out for us, which makes it go together really nice. Richard Childress Racing, as of last week, they got their printers going, and they've basically just been running about the same as what we are. And they're bringing their, every couple of days, they bring a load down to us. So it's really, you know, they can make about 100 and some a week. And so that's letting us fill some of these bigger orders too. We've, you know, we've effectively doubled our capability here with their help.
That's awesome. You know, it's one of those feel good moments within the NASCAR community that just keeps giving, you know, it's awesome. Flip it. Let's talk about what would the normal day-to-day operation be like for you under non-pandemic situations?
Yeah, like I would say our day-to-day, you know, as I mentioned before, we are going pretty pretty hard on the next-gen car. We were actually kind of at the point where we had wrapped up what the aerodynamics packages were going to be for the car.
Okay.
And we're working with the manufacturers to basically get their cars through the submission process. And we had originally a target of May to get everybody passed and through the process. And then the goal of that being that that would give enough time for our body suppliers, you know, to make the parts they need and give them time to, you know, make the greenhouses, make the doors, make all this stuff, because, you know, some of these mold tools are really big and they themselves need a ton of machine time. So it was kind of this rush to get everybody passed and approved and happy and then get the as much info to the suppliers as we could so they could start making parts.
And that's all on hold for right now. Now that you guys will actually have more time, do you think there'll be any additional changes that might go into that? Or do you think, you know, it is what it is? We're just going to have to wait until 2022 now.
I think a lot of it's going to depend on how exactly this delay unfolds for everybody. You know, if it's strictly like, you know, May, we're able to start kind of working again and going back toward it, I think we would just bump the deadline back as little as possible, because, you know, the same constraints still apply. We need to get our stuff done, pass it on to the suppliers, and you know, everybody we're working with is engineers. I'm one, and they're engineers, and we all know that if we just keep playing with something, we're gonna keep tweaking it until someone takes it away from us. So it's better if we just get it done and send it out, and then the suppliers can really just focus on, you know, building up those initial parts and getting all that stuff right.
Awesome. You know, I obviously, you know, there have been some pictures and stuff like that that have floated around. You know, we've seen some testing. A couple of the drivers have tested the new car and all that. But for can you explain what some of the differences from the car that we're using today to the next gen car, and, you know, maybe what that would change on the track with some of the differences?
Yeah, sure. I mean, obviously the biggest difference, the whole profile of the car is much more coupe-like. So the greenhouse is lower. It's a little more, little shaped more like a sports car. And we actually came up with that profile between us and all the manufacturers, and everybody kind of looked at what car they wanted to run. So there's that. The symmetry of the car is a big one. So, you know, the tail of it is much shorter. It's symmetric, so it's not the tail's not bent over to the right side. It's really noticeable how much more the car looks like a production car.
Yep.
When you see it. And then the big things are obviously, like, you know, having four-wheel independent suspension, and then you know, the underside of the car is quite a bit aerodynamically quite a bit different. It's got a flat bottom on it, diffuser and all that. So I'm getting away from sealing the car to the track and running up higher in the air and still having the ability to have multiple aero packages and do all that kind of stuff. So there's not a lot that's, other than the engines, you know, most of it's new.
That's awesome. I love it. Eric, what have you been doing to pass the time during this quarantine and the stay at home nonsense?
Yeah, like I said, you know, most days I got to come in the shop at least for a couple hours to work my shift of, changing over the printers and stuff, printing the shields. But, you know, mostly trying to keep up with a little bit of work. Training for an Ironman is probably not going to happen. And then you know, trying not to watch too much TV.
I hear you there. I definitely hear you there. All right, Lap Traffic Nation, huge thanks to Eric Jacuzzi for calling in the show. Eric, it was fun. Stay safe, stay healthy. Thank everyone that's working hard at the R&D Center for giving back to the community during all this stuff. I know I can only imagine how much the medical profession appreciates that right now. Thanks so much, man, and maybe we'll talk to you soon once things are getting back in gear for the new car.
Yeah, absolutely. Appreciate it.
Yep. Thanks. Take care, man. Well, Lap Traffic Nation, very cool to talk with Eric Jacuzzi there from the Research and Development Center at NASCAR. I'm telling you, some of these people that come on the show, you never in a million years would I think I'd talk to them, which is very cool. It's such an awesome thing that they're doing, as well as, you know, like he had said there, some of the other industries around the Charlotte area coming together to help and just to try to manufacture as many essential necessities for the healthcare industry as possible, which is awesome. It's great that NASCAR is able to give back in that way for sure. All right, let's keep things rolling here. Not a lot of racing to talk about. Can't wait to talk about Richmond next week, that's for sure. So we'll move right over to some quick social media. Make sure you check out the website, thelaptrafficpodcast.com. Like on Facebook, The Lap Traffic Podcast. Instagram, The Lap Traffic Podcast. And on Twitter, at Lap Traffic PC. Subscribe, download, leave a review, all that good stuff on your favorite podcasting hosting sites. Stickers, koozies, the store, all that's there. Check that out. And we'll get back into normal stuff next week. All right. Keep things rolling. And let's get Mr. Brian Newdorf on the line. All right, Lap Traffic Nation, joining me on the line. You can follow him on Twitter at NASCAR_WXMAN, along with Mr. Aaron Studwell, to keep us up to date on all the virtual happenings and to just have some fun while we're not back.
Perfect weather. There
That's
you go.
Right.
It's all done.
Always perfect weather. Welcome back to the show, Mr. Brian Newdorf. Sir, good evening. How are you?
I mean, wow, what a quiet week in NASCAR it's been.
Yeah, there's nothing to talk about, man. You know, no.
Nothing. I can't think of anybody, you know. I mean, I may have to be careful. I may rage quit this podcast. Just
Well, all right. Before we get into all that nonsense, how was Easter? How's the family? Everybody still healthy and all that good stuff?
Oh, Easter was this week. I don't know. I was still at home. I don't know. No, Easter was fine. We, you know, stayed at home.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. What else can you do?
And my anniversary was the day after. And,
yes,
you know, I went all out for my wife.
Okay.
And I got her my one limit of toilet paper at Target. I went big. Hey, now I had to give up. I had to give up
an essential item, man. I mean,
I had to give up one of my children. I had to give up one of my children for it.
You know, and hey, that could have even been a gift for her as well.
But I mean, at this point, at 17 and almost 19, they can work hard. They can earn that toilet paper.
Absolutely.
You know?
Yes. Yes. So did you make like your famous fish stick dinner for her?
No. I did my part for the economy.
Yes.
And I went to Outback.
Excellent.
No Bloomin' Onion, but I went to Outback and got us some steaks. I mean, I could have easily cooked them on the grill, but.
Right. Right. Well, that there was,
I
no
want to be able to, I want
this week, so you couldn't get the Bloomin' Onion.
Yeah, and you know what? I wanted to keep some local businesses in business.
Excellent. Excellent. Yes, man. I'm telling you, cannot wait to go out to dinner. And not that I haven't enjoyed, like, the extra meats that I've been smoking. And, you know, like, the other night I made homemade sauce and made homemade pizza, like, flipping dough by hand in the kitchen.
Wow, look at you.
Chef Boyardee, man, you know, I love it. I love doing that. I love to have the time to enjoy cooking for a few hours. I really enjoy that. But it's getting a little old now, and I'm ready to go out to eat.
And we got to watch a movie. We watched, now granted, this is going to segue into something we're going to talk about, but we did watch the movie Bombshell regarding the harassment stuff on Fox News and stuff like that. Yeah, now I'm going to have a bunch of at tweets and stuff like that. I just wanted to see the movie. I used to be in television, so, you know, I was curious.
I've not seen that. We'll get to the wife got me watching Ozark.
Okay.
And I not it's I'm having like it's good. It's obviously very dramatic, which, you know, if I'm going to sit down and watch something after like working all day, I would much prefer to watch something slapstick humor kind of thing to not have to fully pay. Like, you got to pay attention like the whole time. And if you're binge watching six shows, like, man, you got to be focused. Like, that's it's mentally draining. And I just
I hear you.
I have the hardest time taking Jason Bateman in a serious role because everything I've seen him in has been like slapstick humor. And so, like, to see, like, I just keep waiting for
him. this is you know, not Jason Bateman and like, you know, is he in Tag? But I do know he's not in like Horrible Bosses and stuff like
horrible
that.
Horrible Bosses and the
Central Intelligence
Couples
and
Retreat.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Like, I just every time I see him, like, I keep waiting for him to bust out with like some kind of gotcha or something during this thing. So I think we're seven episodes into the first season. It's good, but yeah. So that's what we've switched over to watching there. All right, there's no easy segue for this, so we'll
there's just not any. I'm sorry, there's no easy way to do this. Just rip the Band-Aid off.
Yep. So here's what I want to do, and I, you know, I started with it at the top of the show. You know, we all know what happened, we're not gonna get into that whole aspect of it, but from coming from you, someone that's been in media, you've been on TV, you know, again, not to say thing from what's right to say, what's not right to say, but how do you know and keep yourself in check when you got a hot mic?
Well, first of all, and this is not a matter of right or wrong. And I've seen Twitter all day when the news broke, watching Twitter. And first of all, I got to think that the media has done a good job. Media gets a lot of blame for, you know, sharing information and being accused of stuff. But, you know, from a standpoint is when you're in the public eye, okay, you don't say certain things. And I'm going to give you an example. And this was very minor in my career, okay, especially when social media came on. So when I moved to Idaho and I was in the process of working on my website and my web hosting stuff, and I was having a bad day and they were trying to tell me something was my fault and it wasn't. And so I said, you know, I was just ticked off and I said, they're blaming me, my ass. Okay. That's all I said, was my ass.
Right. Very simple.
And I got a message right away from my news director who said, yeah, you can't do that. Okay. Now, when we're all upset, we say things like that. Heck, I even one time, and again, this is going back to being in television, I was watching the Super Bowl. And I was just commenting on the fact, and this kind of goes again to kind of what happened in this situation, because in television, we're on the air because of advertisers, ratings, and then people who sponsor a newscast. And the secret, I don't think it's much of a secret, but one of the biggest advertisers in television is the automotive industry.
Yep.
Cars, yep. Dealerships, cars, and
local
stuff like
dealerships,
that.
Local news, so, kind of hand in hand.
So, yeah, I made the observation that in all my life watching television, never has a car commercial ever got me to want to buy a car.
Okay.
And I tweeted that.
Oh, oops.
And the sales manager sent me a message that said, yeah, please delete that.
Wow.
So,
yeah.
You just can't do it. I mean, I kind of made the comment to my wife. We were walking in a store and I made a comment that was probably, I don't even remember what the comment was, but I thought to myself, this was just a few months ago. And I thought to myself, you know what, for once, nobody knows who I am. So there's no repercussion potential for what I just said.
Sure. Sure.
Because luckily for me, I'm pretty boring. Okay. You know, I'm going to be flat out honest. I really don't drink. Okay, so there's no chance of me getting drunk and doing something crazy. Number two, I was very fortunate that I came into television in 2001, kind of pre-really smartphones. By that point in 2001, you still had to pay for text messages.
Sure.
And the data, you know, so
I remember getting yelled at by mom and dad a lot about going over on that.
Yeah. So you had to monitor. So there was no way to upload, video and stuff like that. So when the one few times that I was actually out at a bar, there was nobody to record it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And, I was able to get I still had to actually talk to people and stuff. So I was very fortunate that I came up through the ranks as social media. By the time I was a little more polished, social media was there and so were the videos. And, then I could be, be more thing. And another thing I learned about generation, and I don't think this is, I'm not going to call anybody out, but it seems like the younger generation, especially in some ways in TV, were kind of excited that they got their, what I quote unquote, YouTube moment. And here I was trying to avoid the YouTube moment.
Sure.
So keep in mind, the downside is when you're in television and in broadcasting, and the other thing I learned really quickly too was just because, the camera's not on you, meaning the camera's in the studio, people's eyes are their cameras. Okay. Now they have cameras on their phones. I mean, anytime you're out someplace, you can get busted. So, So, with that in mind, it's a lose-lose situation. And of course, this is even more brand new. This is more brand new because now we're talking about things we do when you and I kind of briefly joked about this. Now we see why we don't have this early on, right? When they said we talked about, it'd be great if they iRace, but we leave the profanity in.
Yeah, right. Yes, we did.
Boy, what have we been wrong? Okay. Because I mean, it's just one of those things that probably shouldn't do. And another senior meteorologist friend of mine that I know, basically he has a bunch of rules about TV broadcasting. And one of those is assume every mic's a hot mic. And that way you just don't ever get yourself in trouble. Now, if you have kids, you learn real quickly, hopefully. I mean, one of the things I know, I was never a potty mouth to begin with. In fact, all the way through college, when somebody first heard me say a swear word, they're like, is that the first time you ever swore? So that just gives you the inclination about how I was in my early days. But again, that was just who I was. So this worked out really well for me. But again, you just don't want to make that mistake.
I love it. All right, we'll make another hard segue, another hard left.
No problem.
Virtual racing, Richmond. We can joke. It will be perfect weather. Have you gotten into the whole watching of these?
Or I do. I like it. It's something. It's not. I don't know the outcome, and it's sports.
Right?
I mean, and it's better than horse.
It's funny. You look at. I'll use Homestead as an example.
Boy, you did not touch that one, and you didn't touch that. I just laid down for you.
No,
you did not want to beat that dead horse. I'm telling you.
No, I did not. Homestead. Mile and a half track. Kyle Busch, bread and butter. Kyle Busch nowhere to be found. It's nice to know, and I guess just kind of see. There's no notebook in the garage, even with the same setups that everyone has to use.
True.
It's making that at least gives that a little bit more of a refreshing thing to it. Like you don't know who's going to do well. Sure. We know and I talked about it the other last week, on DraftKings, Timmy Hill was the most expensive driver going into Bristol. Who would have ever thought you'd see that?
It's
refreshing. It's something different. So I'm behind.
And the one thing I have to say about the drivers who normally race, like the Kyle Busches and the Denny Hamlins and stuff like that, the big thing too is, they know these tracks. There's a feeling. Plus, let's be honest too, when I take 60 on an on-ramp and I feel like my car is going to get out of control. I mean, that's 60 on an on-ramp. You imagine on those curves at the speeds that they're going, there's a little bit of something where the separation of these drivers take place because you're not pulling those G's. You're not having to grip that wheel. You're really not inches. So I'm going to use a good example. So we talked about my former TV life. And when I was finishing up my TV career, the one thing I kind of noticed was there was an amazing amount of relaxation as I was ending my career at another TV station outside of the one I was at. And I stopped and I thought, maybe I'm leaving television too soon. And then I kind of caught myself and said, part of this is because I know I'm done. I know that this is, you know, I'm just here filling in, having a good time. There's not the pressures that I had at my old job. Whereas, you know, iRacing, you're not driving an expensive car.
Yeah. Yeah. You get two resets.
You get two resets. You get unlimited tires, you get gas. So you're not only are you, and really are you, and if you do make a mistake, nobody's going to be possibly rushed to the hospital. So while you can simulate so much, you know, in the back of their heads, there's a little bit more relaxed aspect, you know?
Oh, for sure.
The adrenaline's not there. I mean, I bet these guys are competitive, but it's just not the same. And they probably would all say that. So
I bet. Yeah.
So, I mean, while it's great, I mean, listen, my wife's enjoying it, you know, cause it is your, I mean, that's what we like. We're seeing names we've never seen before. She's like, who's that? I'm like, you know, Timmy Hill, you know, or, you know, Landon Castle, or you're seeing some fun stuff. I mean, I'm going to be honest, Boyer up there in the Fox, that's just a lot of fun. I mean, we basically saw a race and Days of Thunder with Larry Mack. I mean, it was just mm-hmm. So I mean, I think it definitely gives us something. And for those NBA fans, I mean, I tried to sit and watch, but there was just, before I could even see what was going on, there was just too many interviews and talking, and I was just like, okay, I'm done. It lost my attention. The horse thing. I mean, it's, I don't know. I mean, we're desperate for sports, aren't we?
Yes, we are. I'm telling you. Well, you know, and now there's the talk, you know, the potential of, you know, we may not be able to attend as a fan a live sport for quite some time, even if they get up and running.
I know, but think about this.
You know, NASCAR, but just something to be able to watch something live on TV.
I understand, but think about this, though. I mean, yes, never mind. I'm not going to say it. I was going to be bad. I mean, I've had so many people tell me when there's no fans in the stands anyway right now at NASCAR races. That's not cool. I mean, but what I'm saying is most NASCAR fans consume the race by watching it on television anyway.
Yes.
We don't see much of the crowd. I mean, and really you don't, because you hear that whistle and you hear the motors, you don't, I mean, the drivers would, but you don't, as a person watching it on television, you don't hear. It's not like basketball where, you know, like the NCAA would have been really weird without fans and bands and cheerleaders. That would have been weird.
Yep. Now the Tigers, on the other hand, they would have no difference for them.
No,
same amount of people.
And I could have, in the defense, I could have said the same thing about baseball. So, I've seen some of those stands, and I mean, but if people were watch, I mean, if, just to bring sports back, I think would be a sign of us getting closer to normal.
Absolutely.
I mean, there's that talk of even 4th of July fireworks being canceled, and we're still waiting on. I mean, Memorial Day is going to be really weird. Potentially no 1,100 miles of racing or more because so I mean, there's no Derby over here in Louisville. I mean, everything is just weird, but you know what? I'm going to say this real quick. First of all, if you're a first responder, if you're a medical person, if you're somebody on the front lines, even if you're in a grocery store packing and working, thank you. Thank you so much for putting yourself out there. I'm fortunate while I'm considered an essential employee because weather is essential. I'm usually in the office with no more than just one other person. So, you know, mine's limited. I have sons who work in fast food, who work at Chick-fil-A and have to, you know, interact. So, you know, I'm always, every time they get a cough, I'm nervous. But what I'd like you to say is to everybody who's dealing with this, thank you. I know it sucks. We're all in this, but you know, we can come on here. We can laugh a little bit. Thank you for doing this too, for having a podcast where we can talk and maybe just something a little bit normal. We can talk about what's going on. And so I appreciate that. And I appreciate everybody who may listen to this, who may just listen to this to escape the craziness that is this world we live in today. Thank you.
Absolutely. I love that. It's a perfect way to end it. Lap Traffic Nation, make sure you follow Brian on Twitter @NASCAR_WXMAN. Sir, great to chat with you and talk to you in a couple
weeks. Sounds like a
plan. All right. We'll see ya. Well, Lap Traffic Nation, this is when we'd be doing some lucky dogs. We'd be doing some fantasy. Lucky dogs will be back next week. That's for sure. Can't wait till we're talking a little fantasy. That's for sure as well. That's going to do it for this week's show. That's going to do it for episode 177 of the Lap Traffic Podcast. Make sure you check out the website, thelaptrafficpodcast.com. Like on Facebook, The Lap Traffic Podcast. Follow on Twitter, at Lap Traffic PC. Big thanks to Eric Jacuzzi from NASCAR's Research and Development, Brian Newdorf. Next week, man, so excited to talk to Dan Wetzel. Make sure you tune into that. Don't get caught chasing the lucky dog. Make sure you tune in each and every week to the Lap Traffic Podcast. See ya!